Jayanila Prema Dana Karuna Prachu. Eno Bravo Gota Gela Acharya Thako Kahamura Swarupa Kahasanatana Kahadasaragunata Patita Pava Kahamura Bhata Yuga Kahakavira Eka Kali Kota Gela Gora Natara Pashani Kuti Vo Mata Anale Pashivo Gauranga Gunera Niri Kota Gele Pavo Sisava Sangira Sange Jekailo Vila Se Sangana Paya Kande Narutamoda Se Sangana Paya Kande Narutamoda Jayanilo Prima Dana Karuna Praju Heno Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thako Eno Prabhu Kota Gela Gadara Pandita Gela Bhakti Vinoda Ko Jaya Vaishnava Thakur 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 Vaishnava Thakur Jaya Vaishnava Thakur Jaya Vaishnava Thakur Ananda Gauri Vaishnavrinda ki Jai Nitya Lila Vishnu Om Sripada Savangri Sila Esi Bhakti Vedan Swami Sila Prabhupada ki Iskan Samsava Kacharya Savangri Sila Prabhupada ki Ananda Gauri Vaishnavrinda ki Jai Sri Rupa Sanatana Patrakana Sri Jeev Gopala Vadasrakana Sadgo Swami Prabhu ki Nama Acharya Sila Haridas Thakur ki Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopiko Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhana ki Brajabhumi Vrindavan Dham ki Sri Navadip Mayapur Dham ki Sri Jagannath Puri Dham ki Gangamaya Jamunamaya ki Srimati Tulsi Mani Srimati Vrindadevi Tulsi Maharani ki Srimati Bhakti Devi ki Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki Srila Gadadhar Pandit Tirubhav Mahamahotsav Ki Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Tirubhav Mahamahotsav Ki Dai Go Premanandi All glories to the Assemblable All glories to the Assemblable All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandigam Aradanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padambhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha kalpa durvyascha kripa sindhu vevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Namo bhakti vinodaya sachidanamine gaura shakti surupaya rupanuga varayate. So somehow or other, although I'm very fallen and unqualified, most degraded personality, the Vaishnavas have asked me to speak about these very wonderful personalities, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Gadadhar Pandit. So we will try to, for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, try to say something. Because today is the Amavasya day, new moon day, which means no moon, of the month of Vamana. And this is the day the Gadadhar Pandit deigned to leave this world, and on that same Tithi, Amavasya of Bhaman month, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also left this world. So we're all gathered here to celebrate this most amazing personalities, these most amazing personalities. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was one of the greatest minds, greatest souls that Bengal ever produced. As always, when you hear the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you see the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you hear the the revolution he caused in the Vaishnava religion, because at that time, 150 years back, the Vaishnava religion was very degraded. Nobody considered it. Just was an excuse to beg at the expense of society, and it was meant was a religion where people indulged in illicit activities in the name of God consciousness. But he changed the whole tide. I don't know why Bhaktivinoda is not more famous in Bengal. Everybody hears about Tagore and all these other people, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur far surpasses all of these great minds that Bengal has produced. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was born in a very, very opulent family. In, I believe it was 1838 he appeared in this world. And I believe it was in Ulagram, his maternal mother's, where he describes, in his own biography, describes that my maternal relatives, they had unlimited wealth, even at that time. Of course, by the vagaries of Lakshmi, she's called Chanchala. He fell, shortly after his birth, he fell on hard times. He went to Calcutta, and he had to undergo many troubles in his youth. As he excelled in all of his studies, he was very intelligent, and shortly after completing his studies, he was trying to find some employment, but he had a grandfather named Raj Ballabha Datta, who was quite a famous personality in Calcutta at the time, but he had retired to Orissa to do his bhajan. He was constantly engaged in chanting the holy name and worshipping Radha Madhav. So Bhaktivinoda, before he was able to achieve any employment, he heard that his grandfather was very sick and that he should come immediately. But Bhaktivinoda writes in his autobiography, and that autobiography is now being retranslated. We have a godbrother named, but now his name is Jagadananda. Before he was Hiranyagarbha, but he's very, very learned in Bengali, and not satisfied with any of the translations of Svalikiti Jivani. Now he's engaged in Vrindavan and giving a very nice translation. Every day he posts on Facebook some jewel that he finds in this Bhaktivinoda's own, his autobiography. So there, Bhaktivinoda writes that I found my grandfather quite hale and hearty. I couldn't believe that he was sick. But he told me, stay here for 2 or 3 days, because I'm not going to remain in this world much longer. But after I leave, do not tarry in this place. You must immediately go. So on the third day, Raj Ballabha Datta called Bhaktivinoda. He said, you will become a great Vaishnava. And whatever employment you get at the age of 26, that will be your life's engagement. And I give you all my blessings, and you do not remain here much longer. And as soon as he finished speaking to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a hole burst in the top of his head and he left this world. Such a departure is very rare in this world. So Bhaktivinoda, he performed the last rites of his grandfather. He received a small inheritance and he returned to trying to find some employment. His first employment was a sixth grade teacher. I can't remember where that was, but he was received a wage of 20 rupees per month. Of course, rupees were worth much more those days. You can imagine 20 rupees per month. And all the different British officers who had the opportunity to have him serve under them, they're very pleased. He gradually became promoted again and again and finally became a headmaster of some school. And eventually he was receiving 150 rupees a month. And at some point, he began to travel And his grandfather had also requested him to visit all the different mutts in Orissa. So he traveled around Orissa and he found in Choti Mangalpur, and he writes in his autobiography that we have some land in Choti Mangalpur where the original Radha Madhav Didi is, that Bhaktivinoda wrote that beautiful song, Jai Radha Madhav. And later those Didis were lost. They were worshipped actually by Lord Nityananda Prabhu and somehow came down into the possession of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And those Didis come every Kartik to Vrindavan. If you're in Vrindavan at Kartik, you can see at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Madhav is there. Sri Sri Radha Madhav is there. Or you can go to Vrindavan.tv, and when you see the Darshan Artik, you can see the wonderful deities of Radha Madhav from Choti Mangalpur. So he said, we had some lands there where we built a house to accommodate sadhus who may be on pilgrimage. But the proprietor, he gave up entertaining such sadhus who chanced to come on pilgrimage and refused to give them a place to stay. And I gave him a severe threat, promising to resume his lands unless he took up the seva of the sadhus again. In this way, this property of ours was again established for the benefit of the Vaishnavas. So because all the British officers were very much satisfied with him, they kept giving him a better post. In one place, he was posted in Champaran. And while he was there, he delivered a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam that 1,000 people attended to hear. And Bhaktivinoda, one Brahmin approached him for some dakshina, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, yes, you, in that place there was a tree that was haunted by a ghost, and many people were worshipping, crooked people were worshipping this ghost. So he told, yes, you read Srimad Bhagavatam in the shade of that banyan tree. So that fellow, he sat under the banyan tree. He completed reading the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam in 30 days. On the 30th day, that tree fell down and crashed to the ground, and the ghost was gone forever. And all the people of that place were very happy, except those few dishonest people who were worshipping that ghost for their nefarious means. He began studying at different places. He got the opportunity to study. The British had large libraries. He began to study all of Western thought. And many, many different people of that time were very were also interested in Western thought. He began to have exchanges with them. And there arose one fellow, Ram Mohan Roy, who started this Brahmo Samaj, which was just a kichri of Christianity and Western thought. And he was totally, he insulted everyone. The conservative Hindus were upset with him because he was saying that the Vedic scripture was all mythology and not worth studying. And he was mixing Christianity into his kichri. So the Christians were upset. Everyone was upset with him. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says at one point, somebody asked him to mediate between the Christians and Ram Mohan Roy and the conservative Hindus. And Bhaktivinoda says, all that happened was I made enemies from both camps. it was impossible to mediate, and both camps became my enemies. I had to live very carefully after that. But he used to associate with all these types of thinkers and share their thoughts and argue with them. He became a very great opponent of Ram Mohan Roy's Brahmo Samaj. But gradually, somehow he became influenced and wanted to understand about Chaitanya Charitamrit, because at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as I said, it was degraded. Nobody even cared. The intelligent people didn't give a second thought to the deep philosophical truths of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And even though he was in Bengal, he could not find a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. With great difficulty, he found out a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also Srimad Bhagavatam was also very difficult. But he began to study these things, and he began to appreciate the deep philosophy and his sheer love of Godhead by his great effort. Now the intelligent class of people are able to appreciate the very wonderful philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So eventually, they posted him as a deputy magistrate in Puri. And just as his grandfather had predicted, he was 26 years old. And this was to be his life mission. He was posted as deputy magistrate in many, many places. And the British were very interested to get the stop the malpractices and regulate the Puri temple. So Bhaktivinoda took up this work, and he stopped many malpractices. He regulated the time of the offerings to very strict, very punctual times. He did a lot of work that the British were unable to accomplish, but he is Bhaktivinoda. He could accomplish. And one of the first things that happened after he reached Puri was there was one Bisi Kane living in the jungle who claimed to be the incarnation of Mahavishnu, and that he was going to rise up and kill all the Europeans, even kill the King of England, and drive the British from India. So the British were quite upset about this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't taking their part, but just the fact that this person was trying to declare himself as God, an ordinary living entity, declaring himself as God. This is why Bhaktivinoda took up the work. So he was living far in the jungle, so he went into the jungle to investigate. He arrived in the evening, and that Bisi Kane immediately said, "Babu, why have you come? I am the incarnation of Mahavishnu. You better not try to mess with me. In fact, if you surrender to me, when I drive the British out, I will make you the district governor of whole of Orissa state." And Bhaktivinoda immediately criticized him, and living entity cannot become equal with the Supreme Lord, and chastised him in so many ways. Then he camped in a tent in the jungle and began his investigations. And he found out that this fellow was having rasa leelas, and because he is non-different from the Lord. And many people were upset because their wives had been polluted by this fellow. He went to some villages, they praised him, because when he went there at night, even that time there was 1,000 people there in his assembly. And people were, just by his touch, people were cured. He had many, many mystic powers. But Bhaktivinoda was not impressed by these mystic powers. Being a learned scholar, he could understand yogis, they are able to gain these mystic powers, but that doesn't make them the Supreme Lord. So after investigating for some time, he brought some constables, and he came there. The constable stayed in the forest, and he came there and he said that I've been appointed by the government to bring you to Puri. And he said, "Why should I go to Puri?" He said, "There, Lord Jagannath is living. Jagannath is just a piece of wood. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself." Such insult to the Lord. I even didn't want to repeat that, but that's what he said. So he said, "Either you come willingly or I'll have to bring you by force." He said, "I know you have your constables hiding in the forest. You do not, you will be destroyed if you try to arrest me." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "No, I'm going to take you to Puri." And he called for the constables to come. And the yogi, he shook his dreadlocks, and sparks like snakes were flowing from his hair, and the constables, they threw. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself grabbed the fellow and handcuffed him. He said, "I'm only coming to protect, because you are my great devotee, to protect your word that you will bring me to Puri. To protect your word, I'm coming along, because I have declared that my devotee's word will never be vanquished." So he sat on a bullock cart exhibiting all types of magical powers, but Thakur was not at all amused. And he was finally thrown in jail, and the But he told Thakur, Babu, you will be in, your family will be in great trouble. And on the fifth day of the trial, his youngest daughter got such a fever, everyone was sure she was going to die. And everybody, his family was saying, please, leave this fellow alone, we'll all die. He said, let us all die. But nobody can claim to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, by evening, the girl was freed from her disease. But Bisi Kane, in the next hearing, he said, you saw what happened in your house? You better let me go. In this way, he began, Bhaktivinoda, after 18 days, he presented all the evidence. He said, Babu, I have warned you. Now you will be destroyed. So on the 17th night, Bhaktivinoda got such a fever and a pain, sharp pain, pierced his heart. All night long it was increasing, increasing. In the morning he was thinking, how will it be possible to deliver the judgment? But somehow or other at 10 o'clock he rose up from bed. Everybody was sitting in the court waiting, and Bhaktivinoda, because they'd heard that he was deathly sick. Suddenly the doors of the court flung open. And Bhaktivinoda walked in. You see maybe in the songbook the picture. Very dashing fellow. Wonderful coat and beautiful hat. Bhaktivinoda strode into the courtroom. He sat down and delivered the judgment that this guy is guilty of sedition and many other things. And he should be sentenced to, I can't remember, 3 years in jail or something like that. So again, he made sparks fly from his hair, and the constables were afraid to approach him. But there was one British fellow who had read something about yogis, that they keep their powers in their hair. So he came from behind and chopped off all his hair, and the yogi fell down. And at that time, Bhaktivinoda's house, so many calamities happened. Throughout the Calcutta, the calamities had happened, actually. And suddenly everything became very peaceful. He was thrown in jail, and within days, he left this world. Then there was some Balaram incarnation and another Brahma incarnation. Bhaktivinoda stopped all of these. And in Puri, he took advantage of the wealth of the great libraries there. He began to study. He began to write. Bhaktivinoda's pen was just unending. The amount of stuff, still being the magistrate, still he found time to write so many things and to deliver lectures. And finally, he was posted in different places, but he kept asking to be posted in somewhere near Mayapur. But somehow he never got a posting, so he retired. But the British refused his retirement. Instead, they posted him at Krishnanagar, which is not far from Mayapur. Once he got to Mayapur, then he, every free moment, as soon as he was finished with his, he could dispose of court cases faster than anybody. He was so intelligent, he immediately understand everything. Bing, 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 he would go to Mayapur to search for the real Mayapur. Because he understood at that time the city of Navadvip was only a city of maybe 150 years. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 350, 400 years before that. He was convinced that it was not the real place. And he began searching, and everyone tried to convince him that Navadvip was the real place. Finally, people told him that the place was lost under the shifting course of the Ganga. But not being satisfied, he continued his research till he found some realized souls were worshipping a place in the possession of the Mohammedans in Mayapur. And he found very old maps that showed the name Mayapur. And also Balal Digi was there, and they found the ruins of the Kazi palace was also there. So if way on the other side of the Ganga, how was it that the Kazi was living on this side of the Ganga? And the Balal Digi, because King Balal Singh was also there. So just to confirm, he was convinced that this was the Mayapur, the real birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are so much indebted to Bhaktivinoda to discover the real place. So just to confirm, at that time he was associating with Jagannath Das Babaji, who became his Siksha Guru. That time Jagannath Das Babaji was over 100 years old, He was unable to walk. His servant, I think his name was Biharidas, he used to carry him in a basket. So they brought that basket to the place. He couldn't even walk. But when he opened up the basket, he couldn't even open his eyes. He had to pull his eyelids like this. When he saw the place, because the Mohammedans were upset with this place because they wanted agricultural land, but the only thing that grew was tulsi. When he saw the tulsi trees at this place, he opened his eyes. He jumped many feet into the air. That person who could not walk, on seeing the real place of Mahaprabhu's birth, immediately jumped many feet into the air and began dancing and chanting. So then Bhaktivinoda, he retired from government service, and he went to Calcutta to try to collect for the... He managed to require that land, and he went to Calcutta. He started the Gaur Vishnupriya Temple Trust, and he began... He was vowed he would go from door to door and peck and collect a rupee from each Hindu gentleman. Of course, rupee was a lot of money in those days. And even the Amrit Bazaar Patrika, very, very respectable newspaper in, still in today in Calcutta, they noted that Kedarnath Bapa Datta, who's just retired from the government service, has vowed to go door to door to collect it for the Gaur Vishnupriya temple. So we pray that every Hindu gentleman who is graced by his presence will not send him away without offering his mite, however small it may be. In this way, he collected enough to build this beautiful Yogapit temple there. It's interesting because from the pujaris there, I've learned that Bhaktivinoda wrote in his trust of the temple that only those who were born in Brahmin families can do the worship there. They also have to be initiated Brahmins in Gaudiya Math, but they also have to be born in Brahmin families. So although sometimes we discount it, it's not to be totally discounted. It's just like one is born in a family of doctors, he has a good chance to become a doctor. It doesn't make him a doctor, but it's a chance. So this is one interesting feature of Yogapit Temple. And he began the worship, he opened up the Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta, he began preaching very strongly, countering Ram Mohan Rai's Brahmo Samaj, and publishing books like anything. And then he was the first. We're sitting here today in this beautiful temple at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Radhasham Sundar, and Sri Sri Krishna Baldao, only by the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he was the first to begin writing in a language outside of the Indian languages. Because he considered that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared to save the whole world. Just like I wrote on one Vyas Puja, I wrote one poem. What was that? Prithiviti Acharada Nagaradi Gram Sarvata Prachoi Hoibe Maranam. 500 years have flown since Chaitanya made this known, but some of them have thought, some of them had guessed, that those that would be blessed were each and every town in Nadi around. Maybe in Bengal, Orissa too, they said, is where the name might spread. In Bharat Bars maybe, but not across the sea. Thakur did not agree. Why not beyond the sea? If Chaitanya is Lord of all, then let all lands hear his call. And so he got a son to get this service done. In fact, Bhaktivinoda wrote one book, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts, in English, and that found its way into McGill University in Canada Library in 1896, which was the birth appearance of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that very soon a personality will arise, will take the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world, so we can understand that that is none other than our own, His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and here we sit in this wonderful temple in a far-off corner of the world called Alachua. This is all only that by the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And by his If you read his writings, you can see how much he understood the Western thought, and he adopted a means of presenting, you know, Krishna consciousness so that a Western mind could understand. And even his poetry, he also wrote poetry in English. Now, we already know sometimes in school we're forced to write a poem, and to write in your own language is also very difficult. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was reading Blake and Thoreau and all of these things. If you see, he has one beautiful poem called Saragrahi Vaishnava. And there you can see the how the Western influence is there, and it, with completely perfect rhyme and perfect meter, he wrote this song. Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzly deadly liquid forms their hearts for air employ. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Was man intended to be a brute in work and heart? Should man, the lord of all around, from common sense depart? Man's glory lies in common sense, dictating as the grace that man was made to live and love this beauteous heaven's embrace. O love, thy power and spell benign, now melt my soul to God. How can my earthly words describe that feeling soft and broad? It's like 30 verses, I don't remember all of them, but some of them are very amazing. Our life is but a rosy hue to go ere long to naught. The soul that sleeps alone concludes in them it has a lot. This is a nice one. Man's life to him a problem dark, a screen both left and right. No soul hath come to tell us what exists beyond our sight. But then at last within ourselves a voice is felt. Man, man, thou art immortal soul, the death can never melt. And then he has a verse that is all of Prabhupada's preaching to the scientists in one verse. But tell me not in reasoning cold that life was made alone by earth's mechanic lifeless rules and to destruction prone. My God who gave us life and all alone the soul can kill or give it all the joys above his promise to fulfill. Just beautiful rhyme and perfect rhyme and meter and very, you know, British sound to it, wonderfully expressing the dynamic philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The end is, what is that? O Saragrahi Vaishnav soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. And there at last I rest my head upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charm. You can look on Google for Saragrahi Vaishnava. Saragrahi means who's able to accept the essence. So Bhaktivinoda, he wrote this. It's just amazing. Even I couldn't write such poetry like that. Although I tried, I said. And so he got a son to get the service done. A lion amongst the saints. The Mayavadi faints. In you he marked the sign. He'll do the work in time. And so he made you this request to get the whole world blessed. 'Twas our dear Prabhupada who crossed the ocean broad. To every continent the holy name was sent, giving joy to all with Lord Gauranga's call. 'Tis very great indeed, some of them agreed. The name has crossed the sea to the land that's free. But in the Soviet, they'll surely say, Niet. I wrote this many, many years ago. That day I'll not forget, remembering eyes are wet. The Russians came 60 and danced in your samadhi beside Jamuna's stream, beyond their wildest dream. So, anyway, we're all sitting here because Bhaktivinoda inspired his son, Srila Bhakti Saran Saraswati Thakur. He was praying for a ray of Vishnu. That ray of Vishnu, Srila Bhakti Saran Saraswati Thakur, inspired our Srila Prabhupada, that you preach in English, it will do good for you and those who hear you. And so we all bow down on this very wonderful day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day and offer our respects to him, because we're only sitting here by his wonderful mercy. So today is also the disappearance day of Gadadhar Pandit, who's one of the Panchatattva. We sing every day, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So we know Sri Chaitanya, he's the worshipful Lord. Brajanda Nandana say, Sati Sutta Hoilo, Jay. Did I get it right? Is it say or first or Jay? Brajanda Nandana Jay, Sati Sutta Hoilo, say. I always get it backwards. That he's none other than the Supreme Lord Himself. Brajanda Nandan Shamsundu. Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Nityananda is Nitai. And Advaita, he is the incarnate, some say of Sadashiv, some say Mahavishnu. Then on that is, they're all Vishnu Tattva. Then on the Shakti Tattva side, we have Gadadhar, who's incarnation of Radharani. But our acharyas have explained, he's like an empty Radharani, because Mahaprabhu has absorbed the mood of Radharani, because we find Radharani is very feisty, Bama nature. But Gadadhar, he's always very submissive, because that a mood and everything has been absorbed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's on Shakti Tattva side, and Srivas, of course, is a devotee. So Gadadhar Pandit, one of the eternal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, member of the Panchatattva, whose beautiful forms now grace our Mayapur temple. And I don't know many pastimes. I can remember one pastime because I happened to pose for this pastime. Because Gadadhar Pandit had taken Kshetra Sannyas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had ordered him to remain in Puri and worship Tota Gopina. There's one beautiful deity that was in it. Tota, I think, means garden or orchard. So he was living in that orchard. This special type of tree was there that grows in Puri. So he became known as Tota Gopina. And Mahaprabhu ordered Gadadhar Pandit to take up the worship. And he worshipped very wonderfully. But Mahaprabhu was leaving to go to Vrindavan. And when he was leaving, the king promised to send, make arrangements to send Mahaprasad wherever he stopped in Orissa. And Gadadhar and many devotees followed him wherever he stopped. In fact, he not far from the king's palace, so the king sent all the queens on elephants so they could, from a distance, from the sitting on the elephants, they could all observe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And everybody who observed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with Krishna praying and began chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And Mahaprabhu kept telling Gadadhar, you have to go back. But he refused. Mahaprabhu said, no, then I have given you the service of Gopinath. That if his service is neglected, that offense will come on my head. And Gadadhar said, I am taking that offense on my head. You don't worry. And to hell with my Kshetra Sannyas. Wherever you go, that is Jagannath Puri. Finally, they got as far as Cuttack, and Mahaprabhu took his hand in his hand. He said, Gadadhar, you must go back. It's breaking my heart that I have told you. You've broken your Kshetra Sannyas. You've given up the service of Gopinath. I will be worried about Gopinath. You go back. He gave that hand into the hand of Sarvabhauma, who had also followed him all the way up to Cuttack, and he sent Gadadhar back. And Mahaprabhu sat in the boat, and I posed for that picture. He's sitting in the boat. Because I was temple president in Portland, Oregon, in northwest corner of America, opposite corner from here. And one day we were in L.A. We went down to visit because I assume Prabhupada must have been there. And I was innocently walking down the street, and Jadarani ran out and said, hey, you, come here. We need somebody to pose for pictures. Yeah. So I posed for many pictures, the picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the when he went to Nandagam and he found the deities of Nanda and Yasoda and Krishna in a cave, and Mahaprabhu was caressing the body, that was me, the Buddhist monk who sent a plate of untouchable things to Mahaprabhu and the eagle dropped it, that's me. And the old man standing behind going with a cane. Mahaprabhu dancing in the boat, he was jumping in the boat and dancing in the boat and everybody's frightened, that was me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting in the boat telling Gadadhar to return to Puri, going like that, that was me. And then Gadadhar fainting. I had to faint many times. Radharani was never satisfied with the picture. So I had to faint many times. So anyway, that was my tiny part in the great Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon. And then somebody said, don't you know? He's temple president of Oregon. Why are you using him like this? I said, I'm happy to be part of Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon. So he sent Gadadhar Pandit back to Puri with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Mahaprabhu went on to Vrindavan. So we'll put our voice to rest here. If anybody has any questions or comments, we can try to answer them. Yes? Ragatmika? Oh, he's just giving. Where's Bhakta Mike? Just now coming. Immortal words. Even Lota Baba on Govardhan, he was cooking for Krishna, and he saw Krishna and Balaram going by on a chariot. And he said, hey Lala, I'm cooking for you. And he said, just now coming. It's all right. I'm not eating till you come. So he's sitting there waiting for 5,000 years. You see Lota Baba on the end of Govardhan, the tail of Govardhan Hill. 5,000 years he's waiting.
I have two questions. One is, you had mentioned how Bhaktivinoda Thakur reformed many things in the Jagannath temple that the British had not done. What was the relationship that the British had with the Jagannath temple?
What was
the relationship, or the was it their jurisdiction to?
Well, somehow he was the magistrate of Puri, so he had some influence, and somehow he became part of the managing committee. Being the magistrate, he was part of the managing committee of the temple.
Oh, so previously the British were managing the temple?
Oh. I know, that's why they wanted Bhaktivinoda, because they couldn't manage.
Okay.
Actually, Madhavananda has written a whole article how it was the British who made the rule that non-Hindus can't enter the temple.
Interesting. Another question is...
Some politics. They wanted to get some favor with the Brahmins, so they made this rule to satisfy the... It was all politics. But it was the British who made the rule.
I wonder if you would...
We'd have to ask either Rupa Vilas or Chaitananda Prabhu. He may know more. I just read whatever they wrote and that, just repeating it like a parrot without any understanding.
If you would be so kind to give us your realization on that verse by Srila Bhaktivinoda, forget the past that sleeps and ne'er the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee and progress ye shall call.
Well, we forgot the best verse, because it's a disappearance day. He who tells that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnav dies to live, and living spreads the holy life around. Anyway, forgets the past that sleeps and ne'er the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee and progress ye shall call. If you sit around bemoaning that, oh, I'm so fallen, I did so many nasty things, it's done. Whatever you did, it's done. Nothing, we cannot do anything about it. Forget about it. And if you think, oh, I'm so fallen, this life is so long, how will I ever become Krishna conscious? Forget about whether you're going to make it or not. Act in times that are with thee in progress. Just, are you Krishna conscious now? Don't worry about, forget about the past, forget about the future. Are you Krishna conscious now? Are you Krishna conscious now? People think somehow or other, that maybe when I die I'll become Krishna conscious. But dying is just another phase of death. I mean, death is just another phase of life. It's not that if either you're Krishna conscious now, it's not that automatically in death you're going to become Krishna. You have to become Krishna conscious now. If you die now and you're Krishna conscious, then no problem.
Yes. There is one little story that how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so famous, even by the demigods, and Narad Muni was curious to understand the meaning of Opicheta Sudara Achara. And the next verse, the Skipram Bhavati Dharmatma Sasat Chanti Nigachati, they could not reconcile, because it says that one who considers someone who committed the most abominable activity, but if he's fixed in his spiritual vow on devotional path, he still considers sadhu. The next verse, Sipram Bhavati Dharmatma Sasya Chanti Nigachati Kunteya Pati Janihi Name Bhakta Panashati. One who, because that devotee who is fixed, he will become righteous. So then question comes, wait, righteous is like a lower than devotee. So how can he is still devotee and he will become righteous, doesn't match. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sitting on his baranda, he was chanting. And many instances Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, how do you know if you are in an illusion or you are in properly situated? See, you can hear you chanting or not. So he was chanting, his eyes closed. All of a sudden he opened his eye, he found himself in the middle of clouds. He said, where am I? It looks like I'm in the sky. Actually, there he was in the sky, not in his house. So then he kept on chanting and he said, this is not illusion. And but still he saw cloud. All of a sudden he saw Narad Muni and Jamaraj. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they approached Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, oh, so I am here. And you brought me here. He said, yes. So that's what he writes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes this story. Then Narad Muni asked, we wanted to understand this two sloka, how is inner related. The righteous is lower than the devotee, but how is that one who is fixed, he's become righteous? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no. One who is fixed, even though most abominable activity is found accidentally, but he is fixed, one who respect him in that, he will become righteous immediately. And Narad Muni was in joyful dancing. Thank you, Thakur. And then they brought him back to Gopuram again.
Amazing. Shamashi?
From memory, I was pretty amazed. Sahagrahi Vaishnava?
Yeah.
And there's, I saw this document, I think it's from one of the Puranas, Ekanath from North Carolina, was circulating it, and Nagaraj sent it to me. And this is a prediction of a Sahagrahi Vaishnava that would come to the West, would go all over the world and spread Krishna consciousness, and that was Srila Prabhupada. Are you familiar with that? It's pretty amazing.
I may have heard something about it. But
yeah. I'm surprised the same term as you, like the Thakur in one sense.
Jagannanda put up, he showed a poem, I think, from Blake or somebody, and you see the two of these things together. He reasons ill, who says if I shouldn't die, he showed this, how it so much resembles one of those transcendentalists. It's amazing how he was, you know, trying to bring everyone together. Yes?
I heard the Supreme Court ruled that now everyone is allowed to enter the Jagannath Temple. Do you know anything about that?
The court has suggested that it's not a direct order. It's saying that their suggestion is like that. And the Shankaracharya and the temple management is saying we don't accept that. So it's something. I'm sure, maybe not within our lifetimes, but soon, because I know many younger pandas who are very much against this rule, because the rule of somebody is Hindu, so the most 90% of the people are going Puri, that nobody has a dhoti, nobody has a tilak, nobody has a sika, nobody, and we're coming in dhoti, kurta, sika, we're the most Hindu that there is. You can't get any more Hindu than the devotees of ISKCON. In some temples in South India, they also have that rule, but they, you know, you go to the certain magistrate or somebody, you have to go to his office, and they give you a little paper that you're officially Hindu, you can go. So at least this is a step in that direction. They're saying everybody, but at least they should accept Hindus. I hope so. Yes. Here you're going to see change of body instead of change of soul. Change of soul instead of change of body.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for the nice class. I just wanted to, I guess, put out a reminder that how on the disappearance and appearance days of the great Vaishnavas, how it's good to pray to them because they are, I guess we could say, more accessible on that day, on those days. And I have the experience of praying to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to be able to, speaking especially for devotees who are still working, to be able to balance the work and spiritual life and kind of gradually become more on the platform of where everything is for Krishna. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there.
Hare Krishna. Yes, it takes a lot of practice, but practice makes perfect. You have to find that balance, and everything is about balance, actually. Upanishad, Isopanishad, Vidyam cha cha Vidyam cha. We have to go on both rails, the Vidya and Avidya. But it takes some practice. We'll make mistakes, but then you just, like a child, it's not that walking is unnatural. Walking is the most natural thing, but a child has to learn. And as he's learning, sometimes he falls and hits his nose on the floor. Sometimes he hit his head on the coffee table. And in English we say get a big egg. But it's not that he stops, he just picks himself up, he's just going to try again and try again. So we just have to keep trying and trying and trying and never give up. Just like when I was a little kid, I used to cut up my father's National Geographic magazines for my school projects. He didn't appreciate it so much, but he realized I was learning something. And there was, this is like 50 years, more than 50 years ago, there was an article about the elephants in India, how they use them in the train yards for pushing the cars, for loading logs onto the trains and this and that. And they described how they train them. They catch a small one, they put a great big stake into the ground, and they put a chain around his leg, and he runs around and 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 around. And eventually he comes to the conclusion that he can't get free. So now he's a huge elephant. They just put a little tiny stake, put this chain, and he stands there. He's lifting logs onto the train. What is this little peg? Nothing. But he's given up. When they put that thing and put it on my head, on my hand, I can't move. He's given up. Sometimes there's a fire, and of course, out of fear, he just pulls that peg and runs. Just like I've seen on Facebook, some of my godbrothers, they got a little loose in their sadhana, and suddenly they had a heart attack or a stroke, and all of a sudden, oh, I really got to, you know, get back into, you know, they just get right back into it. It's just amazing how it's still there. All that tapasya that we've done in our young days is all still there. We don't realize every day we're chanting, every day we're seeing the deities, we're growing in Krishna consciousness. One day we'll be able to take that stake of lust from our heart and just throw it. But you have to not give up and keep trying no matter what happens. So I guess we'll end here. We can all fall at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of the great personality who was the pioneer of Krishna consciousness in the West, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. And I still have my book with me. If anybody didn't get a copy, would like to get a copy. And again, tonight we're at Soma and Vijay Radhika's house. All welcome. We'll go to Vrindavan.